It's my pleasure to be here in front of you. One is because I have the possibility to talk about God's Word. So I'm excited, even if you don't see that, but it will be okay. We will make it through. There is a lot of things that, like Ross says, in Chile, we don't have a lot of, Baptist, but we have a lot of Catholicism in there. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about later and in Sunday school. But even there in Chile, God is there, right? There is a song that my son is learning now. It's called "My God Is So Big." What is? He's not gonna sing it now, but because he is the creator of all of this, right? And the first human, which the name was, you know, Adam, the first human. And I don't know if you know this, but through history. And you can read books about this. There is ton of books of people that create another God or people that create something to praise. And in this history of us as a Christians, there is a lot of things that change through the times. God gave the possibility to Adam, right, to be close to him. Give the possibility to Adam to be connected with him, but we know that the sin separated Adam with God. Isn't that correct? Like it says in there, humans always will have the necessity and or the feeling to praise somebody. In the Old Testament, we will see a lot of people that is going to make either an animal to be their god. Do you remember the golden? There you go. So I know you are with me now. We are awake. That's good. And then we see in history, in the world history, that there is a lot of Anubis. I don't know if you know about that kind of god in Egypt. All the other goddesses that they create for the rain, for the land, for the people, for the woman, for the man, for everything. Right? And then you will ask, why is that? And as you say, humans always have this necessity to create, to look for something that we need to praise. They named plaster, or they make a figure and a sculptor, a rock, and say, okay, now today you're going to be this god, and you're going to help me with this. They will pray and offer a holocaust to them. And believe it or not, nowadays, it's happening the same things. Probably not to those names, gods, but we have other things that we praise. For example, who has a bigger table pool in their house? Or who has a bigger house? Or wait, who has the biggest land? Or wait, who is rich? So now you see, in this world, for a lot of people, and sometimes for us too, things from this world is making more sense in our life than God. Is it that true? It is true. For someone, yes. So I learned something years ago. This is yes, this is no. So you can answer like that or yes, no. That's something that I learned, and I wanted to keep showing people that you can learn something else every day. So with all these things that we have in mind, that we as a humans, we will create this, we will fill up this necessity of praising something. We will have that in mind and think what we are praising now. Are we in looking for a better cell phone, better, I don't know, technology? Or are we in the better clothes? I don't know. The thing is, if it's a problem, that will be between you and God. You have to fix it with God. Then God will teach you or will teach us how to change that in our life. I don't know if you thought about it, if you ever thought about this ever, like how the world is seeking God and their way. Now, we have the Buddhists, right? We have Mormons. We have Jehovah's Witnesses. And we have a lot of churches that are filled up with people that are starting to follow up these beliefs. And their creeds are so far from the Bible that what is going to happen tomorrow if I need to look for the real God? And one of the things that I've been learning, not just to move my head, is something else that I've been learning through my times here in the States and in Chile too, that people actually will look for something to praise, will look for something to be next to them. I have an aunt that has a picture of Mary in her pocket. So she says, I'm going with Jesus' mother everywhere. So how is that possible? I'm here and I don't have a picture of God, but God is with me, right? I don't have a picture of Jesus, but I have him in my heart. Is that correct? So sometimes we as a humans are seeking ways to be in God's presence, but in the wrong way, or the wrong name, or the wrong whatever. You want to put a title in that? You can do it. Now, how did you imagine yourself in the presence of God? How did you imagine yourself in the presence of God? Wait, are you using your imagination right now? Can you tell me how you feel next to God? Right? So there is a lot of things that probably we will learn through the Bible, through our studies, through our time knowing and knowing God. We are going to learn that every time that we know more and more, we are less and less. Right? And it's not things to follow me. That shouldn't exist. Follow me and I will make you fishermen. That is what Jesus says. But it's not my job to do that. My job is to be another fisherman for other people. Like he says, there are fishermen that fish trout or fish something else. But there are fishermen that fish for what? For men, right? And that's what we have to be worried about. That's how it has to be our life around this meaning in our life, in our mind, in our heart. So how do you imagine yourself in the presence of God? Somebody said tiny, a little, worthless. Which you know, as a Christian, you will be in his presence after you die, right? Do you trust in that? Do you believe that? There you go. Is it yes or like this? Okay? Imagine that will be what I'm meeting with God, just to know him, just to meet him, to be in front of him. That's just a comment. But to be in his presence is not just a need of that we need to die to be in his presence right now. Do you follow me? Do you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we think that we will be closer to God just if we die, right? There is a lot of people that thinks in that, and sometimes they put a bug in the head of other people, and there is a collective assassination or murder. No, they kill themselves. Suicide, massive suicide. But it's because of the wrong understanding. If I want to be in the presence, in God's presence, what I have to do? Okay, that's the first step. And if you are listening to this right now, if I'm inviting him, if me invite Jesus to be on me, what it means? Something is going to change, right? Forgiveness. Well, that is what he's going to give us to us, right? Repent. That is coming from us to him, right? But I wanna go a little bit farther than that. If I'm looking to be in his presence, if I'm seeking his presence, what I have to do? Now, I'm Christian, right? How do I seek God's presence? The Bible, right? And now that we are studying the Bible, right? Do we know what attributes God has? Just name a couple, not all of them. We have, huh? Right, just a couple of them. I don't need all of them. Okay, I will start. Holy, omniscient, omnipresent. Am I right? Tell me if I'm wrong, okay? He's almighty or powerful. What else? Wonderful. Counselor. And we can keep going, right? And we can do a study and last for a year, 2 years studying his attributes. But what is important is how I get to know him, how I get to be in his presence. Because one thing is, I'm a Christian. I cannot go and tell everyone I'm a Christian. What I have to tell them is the truth of the Bible, right? And then later they will say, oh, he's a Christian. It's pretty funny, but it's not funny at all. When I got to my job here in the States, just so you know, I know how to make pizzas. So if you someday wanted to do pizzas or something like that, I'm the man. Okay? I work at Domino's Pizza for almost 4 years. And God led me there. I know it's a reason why I got there. It's not just because. Later you will know a little bit more about it. But when I got there, they asked me so many questions, how I got there, how I got from Chile to there. They were wondering if I crossed the border or stuff like that. But I say, I'm coming from Chile. To cross the border will be about a month or more, 2 months, 3 months. I don't know how long it will be. I never try it. But one of the things that I told them is I need all the Sundays off. They say, why? You will know later. I don't want to tell you now. And that's between me and me. I mean, I don't need to tell you. So later, they discovered that I was a Christian. I don't know how. And they were asking me for stuff like what God will do in this time and things like that. You know how it works at your job and things like that. And then that was my life, kind of a new life, to show them who God was. And for that reason, every time I had to be in his presence to show who God is. Because God is what? God is love. And we continue with the attributes. But he's just. Right? I cannot say that God loves everyone. But yes, I can say it because God loves everyone. But he's just with those that needed to be and just. If we want to follow something, God will let us a role model. Okay? He gave us a role model to follow. Now, when I was at the store, for me it wasn't hard to show that I was a Christian instead to say it. And I will tell you that my English wasn't that good. So I was working out my English. It's like you go into the gym every time and you go and do push-ups or you lift weights and stuff like that. But that was me in English. So every time that they ask me a question, I will think about the answer in Spanish. And then I will translate in my mind. And then I will give them the English version, but all kind of a messed up, you know? It's like all the articles and the known, yeah, somehow you understand that, right? Now, if you want to learn Spanish, I can teach you. It will be easier for me. But God led us this role model that is in the Bible, right? And we know that because it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scriptures, okay, and they're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training and righteousness, that the man of God may be completed, equipped for every good work. So that's what the Bible is for us. It's a book that will give us that role model that we need to be next to Him, to be in His presence. Now, I talk about humans, people making gods of everything and anything. And I mentioned one of the gods that in the Old Testament appeared, that is the golden calf, right? So what else we can see in the Bible that a human make themselves or other person higher than them? Do you understand what is the question? No? So I'm going to go to the point. Paul in Acts chapter 9, he had an encounter with God, with the Lord, right? He saw a bright light. What happened with Paul? Before that, between. There you go. There you go. That's one counter, okay? Second, Isaiah in chapter 6, Isaiah was having a vision. It was so holy. Oh, I'm telling you what the verse says, Isaiah 6:3. It was so holy, 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 so shiny for him, so clean, so pure, that he felt like he couldn't tell that to others, and he felt ashamed of this clearness, of this pureness. And now, what we're going to be talking today, is there something special that we should do to seek and find ourselves into God's presence? And this is mostly what we're going to be talking today. For Isaiah to be in the holiness and the presence of God was one thing. To Paul, to be in his presence was something else. He lost even his sight. And then we have Moses, that he could have lost his life. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. We're not going to read it all, but I'm just telling you, chapter 33 is the chapter where Moses goes to God and says, "Hey, God, sorry to bother you, but I would like to be in your presence. I would like to see you again. Because don't forget that he already saw God one time. Well, he didn't saw it, but he was in his presence. So, one of the things that God tell Moses in this chapter is, do not, you cannot see me. If you even see my back, you will die. You will die. And why is that? Because the presence of God, it was so powerful, so clear, something that our own eyes cannot see because it's empty of sin, doesn't have any sin. It's clean. It's pure. And a good fact in this is that God and his holiness is separated from sin. So when we as a sinners want to get closer to God, we have to do in certain way that he can show his presence through us to others. There is three rules where, well, there is more, but there is three rules that we must follow. And before I get to this, you stay in Exodus 33, because then we're going to go to Exodus 34. But stay there and keep in your mind this whole chapter, so when you get home, you can read it and understand a little bit more. We will pray so God can help us to understand a little bit more and more and more of his word, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are here, Lord, listening to your word. Lord, we are thankful for each of us that are here, Lord. And Lord, we pray for our hearts, our minds, so we can understand and we can live a life that you want us to live, Lord, and clear our minds and our heart to receive it, Lord. Lord, we pray for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So one of the things that I was talking about, how do I seek, or if there is something special that we should do to seek and find ourselves into God's presence, we will see three rules in chapter 34 in Exodus. And we will check out these three rules. And I want you to stay with me during the whole process. In chapter 34, it happens what Moses was asking. Do you have it there? It says, the Lord says to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, knowing that the first one was in chapter 19 when he received the Ten Commandments, okay? Just so you know. And I will write on the tablet the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain. So what happened? Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. So one of the things that we know about this passage is that, well, first Moses was the one that took the whole Israel people out of Egypt, the big Exodus, right? All what we know about Moses, he was the representative from God to show the his people the place where they should live. That was the promised land. And what we know about Moses, that he was really close to God. But before we even started with this, we have to know that Moses was close to God because of his heart. Since he realized that so many things was wrong, I believe that he found God in all this as his king. And there is no other explanation for what Moses did during the whole time. So for him to seek God's presence was something different that it should be for the people in Israel. For him to seek God's presence was different than for us, because we have a new thing, a new covenant through Jesus. Now we know that in the Bible there's many rules about how we can be next to God or in his presence, but let's check these three rules, three standards, three directions that I wanted to take you to go with me. The first one is approaching God with reverence. With humbleness and obedience. Approach God alone, intimate. And approach God by appointed means, with a purpose. So other than found these three rules, you will find out that other than Moses to be a human, he respect everything that God did as him. And we saw that since verse 1 in chapter 34. First, the order from God was chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. And you will think that Moses, because the first time, okay, let's go back all the way back, what happened? So before Moses went to get these two tablets, the Ten Commandments, he went down, he saw his people doing something horrible. They were praising the golden, and Moses feels so mad, so upset, that he picked these two tablets and he broke them. He shattered these two tablets that God just gave him. He feels so bad and say, hey, why you don't respect what God is doing for you? God take you out of Egypt, that slavery time that you had before. He guided you through the desert, and now you are here. We are almost there. Why you couldn't just wait a little bit for what God says? And Aaron showed this idea to try to praise something so that the people will be a little bit quieter, because they were complaining. Where is Moses? What is he doing? What is he taking so long? How we should be praising God? How we will be in his presence? So when Moses went down after all this that he did and being in God's presence, he shattered the stones, and then he try to be a good man again. In other words, he tried to intercede for the people. He told the people that these things had to be done this way. And we are talking about chapter 32, 33. And then he asked God to try to intercede for the people so God can forgive them, forgave them. Now we will see in chapter 34 that the way how he should approach to him. And there are the three things that we have to understand. Approaching God with reverence, approaching God alone, and approaching God by appointed means, with a purpose. So one of the first things he says, the Lord said to Moses, choose out two stone tablets like the first one. We already talked about that. And I will write on them the words that were on the first tablet. He means the first Ten Commandments. All the law, he wanted to read it again. Because that was the law. That was what is supposed to be in their heart. Verse 2, be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you. Okay, so verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. Let's skip one or two verses. It says, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning. So the first thing is to be obeying God. We have to do it in certain way. If we wanted to approach God, we had to do it with a heart full of humbleness. We have to be humble. If we approach God saying, hey, God, this time can you help me? But the next time I got it. It's in my top. Put it in my top. Like, I see that a lot in movies. Put it on my top. But we forget who is God in our life, or who was God in our life, or who is God in the future in our lives. So, obedience, that is one of the things that God is asking. You have to be humble, obey. This is what I'm asking you. This is what is going to come. This is what I want you to do. And Moses in verse 4 followed his instructions. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Now, the other thing is not just because I'm asking God to do something. He's not forced to do it. Like, who controls God? Who controls who? So when Moses asked God to do this, of course he will say and really repent of what he did before. So when Moses was doing this, it's not just humbleness that we are seeing in here. No, it's not just obedience. It's repent. But more than I know I'm repenting, is a heart that need to be repented. If we receive Jesus in our heart to be true, it has to be with a good repentance. Isn't that what the Bible says? Approach God with reverence, obedient, with a heart humble. Repent of what you did. And if you are going to ask something to God, you have to be like that, right? Because we know that we are sinners. In fact, well, that's the fact, that we are sinners. Even if we are Christian now here in the church, we are sinners. And I bet you $10. No, just kidding. I'm not good at betting. I'm always losing, so don't do that. But I bet the sometimes our mind is not here or there, it's in the world. I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about when you are home and your special time with God, when you are praying or doing the devotional or doing something else. Probably you are thinking, and what can you be doing after this? Like I always hear a pastor saying, are you thinking in what you are going to cook after church? Or what you have for food? So if you are going to present, or if you are going to approach God, it has to be with reverence, with a heart ready to repent, with a heart humble and obedient. And that is something that we have to learn. That's the first rule, to seek God's presence. If you are going to show up in front of God, you better do it this way. If you are going to approach him, you better do it this way. Because he will know that you mean it. Even though he knows your heart, even though he knows your what are you thinking, but he want to know and listen, hear it from you, saying it. Saying, God, I'm here. My heart is here. Please work it out however you want. And I know I'm a sinner. Please accept this as my devotion to you. It's one way. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8, say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deed among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in, that's too far from me. I thought I had it. I'll give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deed among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous work, glory in his name, in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgment he uttered. All offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. One of the things to approach God with reverence is to praise him too. To know who is God. You can do this, you can do this. I know you can do this. You are awesome, God. Then we sing Waymaker or Calvary. Approach God with reverence, humbleness, obedience. And of course you have to repent. That comes really handy. The second rule, or direction, however you want to call, but the second rule verse 3 says, no one is to come with you. Well, verse 2 says, present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountains. So the other one is approaching God alone. If there is anything that you had to fix in your life, it's just you and God. That problem, that if it's not a problem, if it's something else, if you want to tell God something else, it's between you and God. Approach God with reverence and approach God alone. That doesn't mean that always has to be like that, but just for your sake, for your health, it's good to have that counselor. His word will help you to go through anything. The song that my son is learning, it says, there's nothing that my God cannot do. So if we think in this, of course, God will help us in what we need. But God, I want a car. Do you really need it? But I'm talking about this intimacy to be with God as you and God, intimate, talking, sharing, reading, praying. Somebody one time told me that, of course, God is going to listen to you. Of course, God listen to you and God will help you to find a solution to your problem. But then this person says, yeah, because God doesn't exist, one. And the second is, the Bible is so much filled with a lot of eloquence ideas, smart ideas, or even though right things to do and to do and to say. And I remember I say, first, God exists. If not, you and me are not here. We are not existing. How is that? Well, the creation. And there is when I start to talk about the creation and God and all what he did. But still, I don't think God exists. Well, can you see the air? That is one of the things that I say. No. Can you hear the air whisper to you? Yes. Okay, that is God. Every time that you have this time with God, even though if you cannot listen, you can listen. You can be reading 1 Thessalonians, or you can be reading, Apocalypse, that's in Spanish. Revelations, thank you. You can be reading Acts, and God still is going to be talking to you. You can be reading Chronicles, and God still can be talking to you. Psalms, that is a big book of a lot of things. Proverbs, smart things, right? Wise. And you can keep going on and on all the books in the Bible, and how God will answer your prayers. So no man is to come up with you. Not flocks and the herd. Now, just remember that I say that in chapter 33, God says, if you even see me, you will die. right? Almost at the end of the chapter. If you see me, you will die. But if nobody else hear about that, and Moses go with somebody else, and or they follow, they're following Moses, they will die. Because they didn't know what is going to happen. They didn't know anything. So one of the things that God is asking to Moses and he's asking to us is to be an intimate relationship with him. Okay, we are presenting in front of him all what we have. We are in approaching God with a reverence and humble, with a humble heart and obedient heart. And we are repenting of all what we do. But all this has to be as we mean it. Like we mean it. So how I'm going to say, I'm sorry, God, I sin, and I will tell him the sin with somebody else next to me. How will I feel? Ashamed? Well, that comes with the sin. But how will I feel? Lost? Now, if the sin affects another person, you have to go and repent from that person and then to God. There's no way you're serving God with a problem in your heart. There is no way that you're serving God if you have something else in your heart eating you up from inside. Like I say in Matthew, if you have any issues with your brother, go and talk to him. If he doesn't fix it, go with somebody else that can serve as a... Why am I forgetting so many words? But you understand, right? So you can serve the Lord with a heart clean, with a heart ready to serve him, to praise him. So all what you have to fix, do it outside of the church. If you need to fix something inside, fix it now. But I'm just saying, if you want to seek God's presence, approach God alone, intimate. Nothing to do with what I just say about Matthew and stuff like that. But just think about it. If you want to talk about something, God is the right person. God is God, right? Even if he knows, he just wanted to hear you. And as I say, approach God alone. I mean, at the end, it's your relationship with God. It's your time with God. And sometimes, believe it or not, God is the only one that is listening to you. And of course, through the Bible, he won't lie to you. His word will be always true. His word will be always the guide of your life. And I heard one time that it's the guide of your life, and your life will change drastically. And that's true. And we have an example of David approaching God alone in Psalms. He approached God by himself. And it's the best time. You see how David wrote all these songs and Psalms. I know a lot of stuff. Probably you will be a writer. I don't know. Who knows? So, reverence, obedience, humbleness. Reverence. Alone, no man, no nothing, nobody, not even an animal. And he did it. Verse 5, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Do we believe this? I don't think a human can think in this, that God is a compassionate God. that God is a gracious God, is a merciful God. We can tell stories in our life how God work out things in our life that we didn't even think about it. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And we know that still is happening. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, Moses says, he says, then let the Lord go with us, although this is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. If you are going to approach God with reverence and alone, you have to do it with a meaning, with a purpose. Approach God by appointed means, with a purpose. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, O Lord, O God, if you can help me to change this in my life, O Lord, if you can help me to find this in my heart, O Lord, if you can do this for me, and we can have a lot of O Lord, right? When I say with appointed means, with a purpose, you have to know why are you getting close to God? Why are you approaching Him? Why are you seeking God's presence? Probably was 20 years ago. That's a long time ago now. A long time. We, with our youth group, we went to a retreat. Yeah. And there was my very first time that I can say I was in God's presence. We found out a place where it was next to the river, and it was just nature. It was pretty cool. But we don't just admire how beautiful it was. We pray in there. We take spaces. And that was my first, I was 15. That was my first time that I got closer and closer to God. And since then, God doesn't let me go. I don't know what. I don't know what is the plan. But that's why I'm here. My purpose for that day, it was to tell God that I wanted to give my life to Him to serve. And I remember like it was yesterday. And let me tell you this, I don't remember so many things, right? My wife can testify. I do not remember many things, and it got worse with COVID. And God, that day, showed me that this is the path that I should go. The meaning of what is all this is that we need to be closer, that we have to seek God's presence. For Moses, the purpose of him was to be closer to God, to approach God by following these three rules that God gave him. And not just he wanted to see God's glory, but he wanted to intercede for the people. So, of course, the people didn't feel like God left them alone, that was the first thing that was happening. By the way, have you ever feel like God left you alone? The truth. Have you ever feel that? You know, I never learned English until when I was like 24. But I remember when I was like probably 10. And I was singing songs. Like I was making it up. And it was in English and I didn't know any English. But Wachuleru was coming out. Wachuleru is nothing. It's not a word. But I was coming out in a rhythm and things like that. And my mind was like, why God, I'm here? Probably it's going to be a new language or I don't know, I have no idea. But I feel like that so many times in my life. When I was really young. But that is probably how the people were feeling. Because they couldn't have this connection. That was for Moses. That was for the people. Moses interceded for his people. Moses wants to be in God's glory. And for us, our purpose for wanting to be in his presence, it should be the same, to be in his glory. To be a little bit more humble, with a heart ready to serve, with a heart ready to be repent, and that is how we should be. I learned something about riding a bike. The more you practice, the better you are. It's not just with the bike. It works with pizzas too. I did a lot of pizzas, and now I know how to throw the dough and, you know, spin it and do stuff like that. The more you practice, the better you are, right? The more you practice seeking God's presence, the closer and closer you are from God. When we seek God's presence, and with this, I'm finishing. You later can read all what God wanted to put in the tablet. But in verses 27. Says, then the Lord, chapter 34, then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. Of course he will do it. For in accordance with this word, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. No, we don't have just that covenant. We have the new covenant that is with Jesus. Have you ever heard about that? The new promise? The Savior, the bridge that we have between us and God is Jesus Christ. But at that time was those tablets. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Wow, I even can support probably, I don't know how long, 3 hours? That's not much, I know, right? But probably you can last a little bit longer, maybe 4.5, 5, I don't know. If I really try hard, probably I can be the whole day, but not 40 days. I don't know. I had to be in that moment, right? And he wrote on the tablet the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And verse 29, this is what is going to happen if you keep in God's presence. If you keep seeking God's presence, you will find it, of course, and you will see this. And you will find out this from others. You're going to hear this from others. Verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was what? Radiant, because he had spoken with the Lord. So sometimes when you have this connection with God, you will... 2 more hours? No, just kidding. You will understand what I'm saying when you have this connection and all the people will see you. Your face is not going to be like a light, but it's going to be happy. You're going to make a difference. You're going to be the light that we should be, the light in the world. Who smile is light. I don't know if you ever heard that. Somebody that smile is bright or whatever. But that is how we will show God in our heart with happiness. We finally were in God's presence. And let's try to do this more often. Me, you guys having me here. No, just kidding. Seeking God's presence. If you never notice that you need to be in His presence, probably today, tomorrow, it will be the time. I'm not telling you that you have to die to be in His presence. That is what I said in the beginning. You don't have to die to be in His presence. But you have to follow these three rules that I just read to you. Let God be God in your life and start seeking for His presence. Let's pray and we will have some time. Heavenly Father, one more time we praise You for who You are. We adore You for what You do and praise You too. Lord, we sing hallelujah to You for the big things that You, the great things that You have done in our life. And Lord, we ask You to help us to live a life following Your words, Lord. So we can show who really You are to the world and who really are they, Lord. Lord, let us give us the opportunity to share. Give us the chance to show who You are. And we pray that You can be shown by our act. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. I was looking at that last song. I don't know. Did you coordinate with this with the pastor, the last song? Okay, because I'm always amazed at times the pastor has no idea what topic he's going to preach on. We have no idea. And then we have a song here called Like a River Glorious. And when you do Like a River Glorious, talks about when we talk about seeking God's presence. Yet in chapter 33, verse 14 of what he was, of what we were looking at our text today, God says, "My peace will go with you, and I will bring you. You know, my presence will go with you, and I will bring you peace." And when we sing this song, think about it, because it says it talks about.